puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
I'm thrilled to say Gordon Goldsboro is back, one of the most popular features on the Weekend Morning Show with his latest edition of Abandoned Manitoba. Hello, Gordon. Welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
So last week you mentioned about a story about an institution that had a big impact on mental health in Manitoba.
That's right. It was a building that was literally at the forefront in the treatment of mental health here in Manitoba, a building in Brandon, in fact, at the Brandon Mental Health Center.
Okay. And what remains of it now? It still stands,
right? Oh, indeed it does. In fact, if anyone visits that site, there's actually quite a lot of buildings there at the site. Of course, it's now part of the what they call the North Hill campus of the Assiniboine Community College.
Of course, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Right. But before that, it was the Brandon Mental Health Center. But if you go back, way back to the beginnings of that site in 1890, it was actually known as the Brandon Reformatory for Boys.
Mm-hmm. And what remains of the reformatory?
Nothing. The original building that was built in 1890 was actually destroyed in a big fire in 1910 that actually destroyed the entire building. But by that time, by 1910, it actually was no longer a reformatory. In fact, the interesting part of that early history is that it was only a reformatory for 1 year, because it turned out they had a staff of six at this reformatory and they had an inmate population of exactly one. They had a 9-year-old boy named Billy Milligan. And they decided this was not the most efficient use of six people's time to look over one little boy. So the following year, in 1891, they turned it into what they called the Brandon Asylum for the Insane. And then eventually it was renamed the Brandon Hospital for Mental Diseases. And then, of course, later in the early 1970s, it became the Brandon Mental Health Center.
When did we get that very large building?
That's what's called, I think, the Parkland Building. And it was built just after the big fire in 1910, November. In fact, late in the year, the building burned down, literally was destroyed. And so they began constructing a replacement for it almost immediately after that. But it took about 2 years. So that Parkland building you're referring to opened in 1912. But that building even wasn't what I'm referring to here today. That building was still widely viewed as really not very progressive. It was dark, I'm told. It was very forbidding. It was not the kind of place that you wanted to go.
As mental hospitals were back then.
Precisely. Yeah. Well, in fact, the view about the dealing with mental illness was that it was simply a place to park people. You know, you'd just send them there to incarcerate them and you didn't ever consider actually making them better. Because I think they didn't think it was even possible back then. You know, once you had that illness, that was it. You were just, you know, sent there for the rest of your life. But as we progress into the 20th century, I think they began to take a much more enlightened view about the treatment. In fact, it is literally an illness that you can get better from, and just as you can get better from a physical illness.
Yes.
And so in 1920 and 21, they began building another building on the site, what they initially called the receiving unit or the receiving hospital. It took quite a long time to build, but and it actually didn't open until mid-January of 1925. But it marked, I think, a dramatic transformation in the treatment of mental illness, because now rather than just parking people, taking what they sometimes called sort of a custodial approach to all this, they now began to think of it as sort of a remedial approach where you actually say could treat people. So this new building, say that they initially called the receiving unit, later they renamed it the Valley View Building, was really the center of a dramatic transformation in the treatment of hospital of mental illness in hospital.
I could see why they would call it the Valley View, because it's up on the brow above the river and you have this amazing view of the valley. Right?
Absolutely. It's got just a spectacular view of the river valley.
How many buildings are still standing there now?
Oh, my. I'm not sure I can give you an exact count. In terms of the bigger buildings, though, there, of course, is the Parkland Building, the biggest one. The Valley View, which is, say, a little smaller. There's the Nurses' Residence, which is gorgeous. It's an absolutely beautiful building. It's currently being used by the ACC as its culinary arts institute. There are a few other smaller buildings around. I would say probably at least a dozen buildings there of various sizes.
When did it stop being a mental hospital?
Well, the Valley View building we're talking about closed in 1992, and I'm told that the vast majority of the remaining buildings were closed by 1999. They closed at varying times, so they've all been closed since the 1990s, and then, say, ACC has been gradually taking over. And I know that they have plans for taking taking over other parts of the campus. I say it is a beautiful campus, so it's nice to see that these older buildings are being repurposed.
For those who might have visited family there or might have been, in fact, themselves in these institutions, is there a chance to go back and have a look or to get a sense as to what the place was like before ACC took it over?
Well, I don't know. I've been there a couple of times now, and I don't get a sense that they're encouraging visitors to the site. The buildings that are – I mean, the Parkland building, for example, the Valley View building are closed. Like, they're not in use right now, although they are, in fact, contemplating using the Parkland building. There was an announcement last year of some funding from the provincial government to do some additional work on the Parkland building. I'm hoping they can do something for the Valley View building, too, because it is so important. And say, the Parkland building was – pretty institutional, whereas the Valley View building was really very progressive. It was really the beginning of the transformation that occurred. You know, they began, for example, to hold weekly conferences among the medical staff to actually talk about these people and how they could treat them better. You know, they had a laboratory in that hospital that they used to do a testing of samples. They had an operating room that apparently was as well equipped as anyone in a regular hospital. You know, it was really what they called the scientific center of the hospital. And it would say the beginning of that transformation in the way we treat things. But you mentioned earlier about, you know, family members that may have been there. Mm-hmm. I thought I maybe should throw in that there is actually a personal connection for me here too.
How so?
Well, my great-grandparents immigrated here from England in the early 20th century, and my great-grandmother, in fact, suffered from mental illness and, in fact, eventually was institutionalized at Brandon, probably in the building we're talking about, in the Valley View, because it was built just after she arrived in Canada. Now, the interesting thing for me particularly is that she eventually passed away there and was buried here in Manitoba. My grandfather, who had come here with his family, hated it here, hated it, didn't want to stay in Canada, was intending to go back to England. But because his mother was buried here, he wouldn't go home. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he stayed. He met my grandmother. And of course, I'm here. So I like to think that this building, the Valley View, has an important role in me.
Wow. Okay. And so what are you going to tell us about next week?
I think we're going to talk about a site that was a site of an epidemic on Hekla Island.
Okay. Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Terry.
Always great to talk. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.